Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, this has been a busy week here in Ohio at the Ohio State House and also in Washington, D.C. as news is really breaking left and right. For those of you that are a listener to this program, you know that we supported the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, House Bill 36, and we're urging calls to the Ohio legislature in support of this. Good news, it passed committee yesterday and today it passed on the Ohio House floor. It's now on to the Ohio Senate, and this was a bill that was stuck in committee for over a year. Dozens of pastors, clergy from across the state came in and testified in support of this legislation that protects religious freedom for pastors and churches, and we're glad and thankful that it is making its move through the Ohio legislature. More about that on our website. Also, breaking news, Justice Kennedy has announced his retirement from the U.S. Supreme Court. That means in the coming months, President Trump will be nominating another member to the U.S. Supreme Court. And of course, lots of breaking news all over at this time. We're going to be focusing on a promise that President Trump made to the Midwest and to Ohio and to West Virginia and to Pennsylvania, and that was to the coal miners. When he ran for office, he said that coal was going to make a comeback, and we're going to do for our coal miners. We're not going to leave them behind. 8 years of the war on coal has reaped devastation in these communities that actually kept the lights on for over a century all over America. And we were leaving them behind. And on the front end of that war was Mr. Bob Murray. And let us give them a proper introduction because we're going to kick off our roundtable discussion and a continuation of how the coal industry is doing in the Trump era. With me on the phone is Chairman and CEO of Murray Energy, Mr. Bob Murray. Also joining us is Jim Martin, Chairman of the 60 Plus Association, and Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Chris.
Well, thank you, Mr. Murray and Jim and Congressman. We're so glad that you've taken time to be with us. We know that, Congressman, you're in and out of votes as we speak on the floor. Thank you for joining us. Do you have a little time with us, Congressman?
It'll be spotty. It depends on what time they call votes. We're expecting votes here within the next 10 minutes or so, but I'll be with you as long as I can.
Okay, let's get right to a media clip with Mr. Murray on a recent broadcast.
The New York Times headline was false, a very poor headline. The article itself was not bad. I do want to correct what Tyler just said. I have never blasted the Trump administration or even criticized them. Indeed, I think he's done a wonderful job to assure low-cost electricity in America and to shore up the reliability of the electric power grid. Today, Angela Merkel announced that Germany is no longer going to close any more coal-fired plants. They need them. You have a power blackout right now in Las Vegas. It is true that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission failed to enact the immediate reforms necessary to ensure the reliability, resiliency, and the security of the grid, but they were directed to do so by Secretary Perry, and that is the Trump administration. He has been very supportive of coal. A lot of it was low-hanging fruit in overturning these regulations, Contessa, because many of the Obama regulations were illegal, so they were very easy to overturn by executive order.
The New York Times got its hands on a letter that you had sent to the administration with sort of a wish list, a to-do list that would be important for the coal industry. And when you're looking through that, rolling back regulations, that got done. Overhauling who sits on the FERC commission, on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that got done. Four of those commissioners were Trump appointees. Unanimously, this commission voted against what would effectively subsidize coal and nuclear power. How does that sit with you?
That does not sit well with me at well. You see, windmills and solar panels are subsidized by the taxpayer, 30% production tax credit. And electricity from a windmill and a solar panel costs 26 cents a kilowatt hour. My coal-fired electricity costs 4 cents a kilowatt hour, and America needs it. There is bias among the two Democrats, Glick and LaFleur, on the FERC. They are obviously never going to support coal or nuclear power. The other two employees against, the chairman himself, McIntyre, and particularly Rob Paulsen, are wrong in their decision, and it needs to be overturned.
Well, you know, Mr. Murray, I thought you did a great job on that, by the way. Of course, it's a hostile environment with liberal media, but I thought it was great that you called out those people that are sitting on the federal FERC, because you see a lot of politics that's being played out in some of these agencies that have been obstructing the Trump administration's attempt to move forward with a solid energy policy going forward. Your thoughts, sir?
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, Chris, is feckless. Absolutely feckless. It's more of the swamp that we've had in Washington, D.C. They fail to recognize that you cannot store sunshine, you cannot store wind, and you can't store natural gas at a power plant, but you can store coal and nuclear power. And let me tell you what they have done to America. We only had one cold snap this past winter in Ohio, December 27th to January 8th. And this will be very important to your listeners because their electric power supply is in jeopardy and they're paying a lot more for their electricity than they need to. So that is what Secretary Perry, with President Trump behind him, directed the FERC to address. They failed to do so. What happened during that cold snap between December 27th, January 8th? 2 million Americans in the PJM interconnection and in New York lost their electric power. 22 people died in these 12 days. That's the one cold snap we had. So the United States Department of Energy, National Energy Technology Laboratory, they call it, investigated the matter. What happened? Coal that had been supplying 29,000 megawatts a day during this period of time went to 46,000, supplied 89% of the electricity.
Yes.
Nuclear power supplied a small improvement. Windmills, the winds were up to 50 miles an hour. They provided zero electricity. The solar panels, it was cloudy, zero electricity. Natural gas said, well, we have 37,000 megawatts in reserve. They had zero because the gas pipelines to the power plants froze up and the gas could not be supplied. Plus, home heating took the precedence of what gas was available, so there was none available for these power plants. But coal stepped up with nuclear power and provided 89% of the power.
That's right.
In spite of that, the price of gas, what little gas there was, went from $3 a 1,000 cubic feet to $95 and over $175 in New York City. Electric power prices went to $500 a kilowatt hour during those 12 days. It normally costs $28 a kilowatt hour.
Right. And it was coal and nuke that carried the load during that cold snap. Now, Congressman Johnson, this hasn't gone without notice among your colleagues in Washington, has it?
No, it hasn't, Chris. We've had a number of hearings on energy and commerce. I've met personally with Secretary Perry, and you've already heard Mr. Murray talk about the support that that the secretary is giving and that the president are giving. I'm right there in lockstep. We've encouraged FERC to solve these problems. I've had personal conversations with the chairman of FERC about these issues, and other members have as well. And we will continue to to address them. I think Mr. Murray, you know, makes a very valid point. And I've been saying this since 2011, and Bob has heard me say this many, many times. Wind and solar and alternative fuels, they're not going to be able to provide the baseload energy to our electric grid. We must continue to have coal as a part of our energy profile. And I knew back in 2014 that the Europeans were going to going back to coal-fired energy because they told us that in several countries when we took an energy and commerce trip over there to talk to the folks about energy. And I specifically asked them then because they had a goal, a stated goal to reduce carbon emissions by 40% by 2030. And I said to the European Union energy minister, I said, how can you even think that you can accomplish that if you're going back to coal-fired energy? And now I was setting the stage for the question. I'm glad they're going back to coal-fired energy, but I was asking a question that I already knew the answer to. I said, because our president in the United States says we're going to reduce carbon emissions by only 30%. And in order to get there, he's shutting down the coal industry in our country. How are you guys going to reduce it by 40% by increasing your use of coal? And yet our nation, our president says we've got to shut down coal in order to accomplish that. And he basically looked at me and said, you know, it's lip service. You know, that's our goal. But our ratepayers are no longer willing to pay the exorbitantly high price for electricity. So, no, it is not going unnoticed here, Chris. We are deeply engaged in this conversation.
Well, that's right. There's a lot of interest at the table, obviously. There's, you know, those from renewables, gas, coal, nuke, coming, and all those that represent them coming to the table. But what's actually important is that the Trump administration promised a solid energy policy going forward, not the nonsense that we've had to live under the last 8 years, which was really a war on coal, which was actually crippling the reliability of the grid. Congressman, I know that you were on committees about actually the national security concern about the reliability of the grid. And by the way, the grid is the national grid is pretty much a new phenomenon outside of around 1999, 2000 is when it came online. This group named PJM and all the readings that I've done here. So, Mr. Murray, there was a lot of gamesmanship going on at the beginning of the year. The Trump administration, through Mr. Perry and the Energy Department, were trying to put forward some policy. And then FERC, which is the Federal Regulatory Energy Commission, it's a bureaucratic panel. And basically, they rejected the suggestion. Even when this report that you were quoting came out where coal and nuke over-delivered during the cold snap, where gas underperformed and renewables were almost non-existent, not keeping the lights on in the East Coast, and a lot of that energy is coming out of the Midwest right here in Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Your thoughts, sir?
And that cold snap that I referred to earlier, 12 days, December 27th to January 8th of this year, coal saved $3.5 billion to the electric utility ratepayers in the PJM alone. That was $288 million a day to be there that we saved that couple on fixed incomes. That single mom or that manufacturer of a product who needs a lot of electricity and low-cost electricity to compete in the global marketplace. And this generation that stepped up during this cold snap is scheduled to all be closed.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute because I want to talk to let Jim Martin come in here because he represents those on a fixed income with a 60-plus association. And, Jim, you've been monitoring this because you're advocating for seniors and those on a fixed income in their retirement years and how this is all going to play out for you know, mom and dad who are basically trying to live out the remainder of their years and live on the income that they raised over their lives. Your thoughts, Jim Martin?
Well, first of all, let me thank Bob Murray and Bill Johnson they've touched upon the situation here with FERC. And by the way, those two Democrats, Glick and O'Fleur, they never were with us. But thank goodness the president has gone over their head. And Bob, he has done what he said. He promises made, promises kept. He's kept his promise to you. And just in the last 2 weeks, though, despite President Trump's leadership to address the urgency of doing something about coal and nuclear plants, you know, that impact our national security. And that's what it's all about. It is about national security. And Bob Murray, you've been bringing to everybody's attention. But what you're up against is this resist movement out there with these wacky enviros and their friends in the liberal media. And they're trying to discredit the president and you. They're trying to really continue the war on coal. They've now added the nuclear industry. And by the way, you said it best, Bob, when you said it's a bureaucratic cop-out, I think, by FERC. And I've been quoting you in other talk shows, Bob, if you don't mind. I see that, as Bob Murray has said, if it were not for the electricity generated by our nation's coal-fired and nuclear power plants, we would be experiencing massive brownouts and even blackouts in the country. And again, coal, King Coal, has far outperformed all these other fuel sources. And Bob Murray so aptly puts it, you can't store sunshine. So this is a war going on out there. And yes, I've got so many seniors. 60 plus has got, we represent more voters, more consumers, more users, more beneficiaries than any of these companies and these enviros out there and a bunch of trade associations with us on this issue. We've got seniors all over the country. They depend on the electricity sources that are reliable and affordable.
And affordable.
And again, as Bob pointed out earlier, the price of natural quintupled. It went so far out of sight. It added to the cost of electricity humongously, as Bob has pointed out. This is a war going on here with you. Bill Johnson is your best advocate, Mr. Burry, if you don't know that, here on Capitol Hill. And by the way, I think they're going to move it out of the Energy Committee, maybe into the Senate Armed Services Committee. If they do, guess what? With the illness of John McCain, the chairman now of Armed Services again is none other than Senator Jim Inhofe. And he is a strong advocate for what we all believe in, plus the fact that he is such a strong advocate of Scott Pruitt. And I put out a press release the other day about Scott Pruitt. And the reason the Democrats want Scott Pruitt's head is because he took an action to undo all the tremendous harm done by the radicals in the previous administration. So we've got our work cut out for us.
Well, that's right. And we do have our work cut out for us in keeping the momentum going. Now, Mr. Murray, you said just before Jim weighed in about advocating for the seniors that all of this energy, this generation, is happening right here in the Midwest. And, of course, First Energy, which makes Akron in Northeast Ohio its home and headquarters, they fought the war on coal with you because they, more than any other energy company in the country, was 70% coal generation. They have nuke plants within their line of energy plants, of course, two here in Ohio, one over there, one or two over in Pennsylvania. And yet, First Energy Solutions announced bankruptcy. And so this is actually presenting a challenge and a problem and actually a crisis, because you're talking about two major nuke plants, the ones that kept the lights and the energy going into the eastern seaboard during the cold snap. And then those coal plants along the Ohio River, they're the ones who delivered the energy. Congressman, we got a problem here.
Chris, I hate you. You're right. We do, and I'm. That's why I continue to have conversations with the secretary, with the president, and with FERC. And with that, Chris, I hate to cut my time short. They have just called votes. I've got to run over to the House floor. Count me in. I'm still the champion for coal, Mr. Murray. I look forward to seeing you again soon, Jim. Always good to hear from you.
God bless you, Congressman. Thank you. That was Congressman Bill Johnson joining us this afternoon. He is in and out of floor votes on the House floor in the U.S. Congress. And we're continuing our discussion with Mr. Murray of Murray Energy and Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association. I'm your host, Chris Long of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Mr. Murray, there's a lot we need to get to here because we've covered so many areas over the last couple of years and all the challenges that you were facing. Obviously, in the coal industry, one of them was the delivery of the rail the rail lines. Basically, were holding up coal shipments. When you talk about a war on coal, literally, when you talk about supply chain and you're talking about delivery and an air campaign, you were doing it all. And then here to find out that the rail lines were backloading coal shipments. Has there been an improvement there, sir?
Not a bit. Not a bit. The Congress created the problem with the railroads by giving them monopolies when they broke up Conrail and other railroads. There are only basically five major railroads now in the United States of America. And Congress gave them a region for the country where they have a monopoly. They're poorly managed. They're run by their unions. They're very inefficient. To stay in business in the coal industry, which is vital to the state of Ohio, we've had to export our coal. We'll export 2.5 million tons of coal around the world because they still want our coal. They know it's lower cost by 1/7 of a solar panel, and it's 1/4 the cost of electricity from natural gas, and the gas isn't even available in most regions of the world. But we can't get it out of the country because of the inefficient, the most inefficient thing in America is the federal government. Next to it is a railroad. But they've been given a monopoly. They're supervised, supposedly, by the Surface Transportation Board, which has really become a tool of the railroad themselves. The government has, again, been feckless in overseeing how the railroads are operated. So we have these customers around the world wanting our coal, and we can't get it out of the country because of the terrible railroad service. Half the trucks on these highways, or more than that, wouldn't be there if the railroads were efficient in hauling the products that these trucks do.
Well, that's an issue we're going to have Congressman Johnson back on about. I know he had to run, but I agree with you. They were talking at the Transportation Committee today down there at the Ohio State House of computerized trucking. And I'm like, yeah, I want to be next to one of those. I've already seen those headless Uber driver crashes and things like that. This is ridiculous. And it goes back to, we've got good infrastructure in this country, but it's being mismanaged. I'm going to bank that Mr. Trump is going to make sure that things get done along those lines and that we're going to see a renovation of our infrastructure, including railways. Gentlemen, stay right there. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back on the other side with Mr. Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association and Mr. Murray of Murray Energy, continuing to talking about effective energy policy going forward and the vitalness of coal as a part of that equation. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away. This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance. This Sunday, July 1st, is Citizenship Sunday, an opportunity for a voter registration at your church. On our website at ohioca.org, at the top of the webpage, you will see an icon, Register to Vote. Click on that icon and you will see 8 pages that will help you with a voter registration kit that will include voter registration form, an application for absentee ballot, and helpful information for you to conduct a successful voter registration effort at your church. We're also going to conduct Citizenship Sundays on August 5th and September 9th. This is an opportunity for those that have never registered to vote, who have just turned 18, or have moved in the last year to be able to conduct a voter registration and for them to update their voter registration. Again, this information is available at our website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back, and we're going to continue our roundtable discussion with Mr. Murray, a CEO and chairman of the Murray Energy, and also Jim Martin, chairman of the 60 Plus Association, one of the nation's largest senior advocacy organizations. I'm your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we've had a number of these programs talking about energy policy, and this has been so vital because also what it means to your bottom line, those of you on a fixed income. Mr. Murray, we were just talking before the break about, of course, the challenges to the coal industry, and now it's with First Energy and their declaration of bankruptcy. They have a number of coal energy plants along the Ohio River. They announced that they were going to close those and the nuke plants here in Ohio, two nuke plants in Ohio. That is crippling to the grid. Originally, PJM erroneously, I mean, I don't even know how they did this with a straight face. Say, oh, well, we'll be able to absorb that. We're no problem here, you know, and gas would be able to pick up the slack. And then I even saw where they said windmills and solar panels and renewables. I'm like, are you kidding me? Please. You know, we're not that stupid. Your thoughts?
They have a huge lobby, the manufacturers of windmills and solar panels, the natural gas industry. How does a little Ohio-based coal company in St. Clair's, Ohio, compete with BP, probably the worst? They're owned by the British. Shell, owned by the Dutch. Exxon, who is no longer an American company. How do you compete with their lobbyists? We can't. And the public is being grossly misinformed about how unreliable natural gas, windmills, and solar panels are. And again, a windmill and a solar panel cost seven times what electricity from a coal plant costs. Natural gas costs four times more. And it, too, can't be stored at the power plant. In talking to Mike DeWine, who's running for for governor of Ohio, and John Husted the other day.
Yes.
I told them the greatest problem you're going to have when you're elected governor is the unemployment that Ohio's going to see between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. It's going to be your biggest problem. Because with the coal-fired plants, and I could also say this about the nuclear plants along Lake Erie and the one near eastern Ohio, with those plant closings, we've identified 10,000 direct jobs in the coal mines.
Oh my.
And in the power plants that will be lost. The multiplier for those jobs, Chris, is 11 to 1, according to Penn State University's studies on our company. So if you just use 10 to 1, that's 100,000 jobs going to be gone. These plants are all scheduled to be closed. Not worrying about having, they've applied to close them. That's 100,000 jobs in that area of Ohio. And I told Attorney General DeWine, who hopefully will be our governor, and he deserves to be, Mike, this is the biggest problem you're going to have, and John Husted as lieutenant governor, is the 100,000 jobs that are going to be lost in the because of the closure of these nuclear plants in the northern part of the state and along the Ohio Valley.
And this
is then we have a less reliable power grid
right
on top of it. It has to be stopped. And that is why President Trump and Secretary Perry ordered the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to deal with it. When they refused, they're back at trying to get it done again. I spoke with the president Tuesday of last week, a week ago, about it. He says we are still going to get it done. He has done everything he can to drain that swamp in Washington, D.C. No, the Congress has not stepped up and done anything here either. And so it is up to our president, in my opinion, to avoid this disaster that hasn't even hit Ohio yet.
Well, that's right. And, it's about to happen, that's for sure. And it is going to happen. Bankruptcy has been declared. They have begun to downsize and to basically, start the procedure of the plant closing as far as the supply line, as far as on the administrative side. The plants are still running. And so here comes, this has not been lost on the Trump administration for sure. And so here comes this headline just a few weeks ago, Mr. Murray, of course. And as you know, the Trump administration orders Perry to stop the closure of the coal and nuke plants because it is a national emergency of the power grid. And he's wanting the Department of Energy to look into this as to how we keep these plants going. Jim Martin, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I like what you were saying and what Bob said about the president. The president has now taken the issue of security out of the hands of FERC. He's gone over their heads, and we've invoked, if you will, security. And I like Secretary, he was at an industry conference back in April, and I sat in on that conference. And he's got the message, obviously, because it came from Bob Murray, but it came from the President of the United States. And Secretary Murray says, Perry says, we're going to have nuclear plant, we're going to have coal plant, we're going to have renewables, we're going to have hydro. All of the energy policy in this country, so we know that no matter what we get faced with, we're going to have as many resources available as we can to feed that grid, so that when the demand is put on it, it's met. Bob Murray has been preaching that forever. And the grid is there. Some of these wackos out there are saying now on the other side, they're saying that these are phony issues. I think it was besides Nancy Pelosi, you've got other Maxine Waters and a couple other Democrats. They're saying, that Trump is, he's ginned up a fake grid emergency in order to bail out donors in the coal industry. That's it.
Well, that's not fake. That's for sure. Mr. Murray, I'm looking at an article. It says New England grid study, gas shortages. If you're depending on gas, and a lot of them talk about that, or renewables. Here it says gas shortages cause rolling blackouts by the mid-2020s. Well, what that is indicating is that PJM study about if these coal plants were to close, if the two nuke plants or three nuke plants were to close within the arsenal of First Energy and their bankruptcy, First Energy Solutions, we'll be able to pick up the slack. The other contrary study here says not so. There will be rolling blackouts. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, Mr. Murray.
Yes, it'll happen this summer in ERCOT. ERCOT is the independent system operator for Texas, just like PJM is for Ohio, 12 other states, 65 million people. There is no doubt that we are going to have blackouts and a loss of electricity in Texas this summer. New England will come sooner than that article you quoted. It will happen here in Ohio. In 2014, we had one cold snap. The largest electric utility in the state was ordered to be connected 3,800 megawatts of windmills and solar panels. When they called on it during that one cold snap, they had 15 megawatts. Chris, that's 15 megawatts out of 3,800. Cole stepped up and kept the lights on and kept people from freezing in the dark, kept people from dying as they did early this year, as that power shortage occurred. Now, all of that grid sustainability was due to coal-fired generation, 8,170 megawatts.
Right.
That has all been already closed. It's not speculation. So if we get another cold snap in Ohio, like we had in 2014, a lot of people are going to die. And I want to prevent that. There is so much information out, misinformation. It's about money. These manufacturers of windmills and solar panels get a 30% production tax credit off the taxpayer. Here are these people who are seeing their electric rates go up to 31%, these couples on fixed income. They're seeing their electric rates go up. That's just the beginning. They're all going to continue to rise because of these uneconomic, unreliable ways of making electricity. To be politically correct, to join the global warming crusade, to not worry about what the ratepayer is paying for the electricity, but to be politically correct. And it is a huge price for these couples on fixed income, these single moms and these manufacturers to pay. It's got to be stopped. But I'm up against, when I argue what I know is correct, I'm up against BP's money, Shell's money, Exxon's money, all the gas companies, because they're deceiving the American public as to what's going to come down here.
Well, Jim, that's why your advocacy organization and our organization, that's why we're spending time on this program today to educate people as to what really is going on here. There's a chess game going on, gamemanship. The president wants to make sure that the coal industry is solvent because that means that the energy grid will be solvent and that we'll have reliable, affordable energy for everyone, not just for industry, but for the general public, which includes seniors and those on fixed incomes and those single moms. Jim Martin, your thoughts?
Well, let me close on this. Got 300,000 seniors throughout Ohio. Yes, I'll be out there later this year campaigning because this is so crucial, the energy situation for seniors who are on fixed incomes. Seniors believe in the power of the free market, competitive markets, the lowest prices that can be obtained. That's critical to seniors, but security, national security, and reliability, of course, must be factored in to any prices. And I like to define reliability as Bob Murray, I think, talked about the grandma test. When the little old lady flips on the light switch, it better turn on the light, or there's going to be a big problem. And again, as he said often, you can't store sunshine, you can't store wind. But coal, this president is making a comeback. Bob Murray, it may be too late because you've been fighting these battles here. It's lawsuits at you. Guess what? The enviros are going to throw lawsuits at you and the president. The thing is that...
Yeah, Jim, you're breaking up a little bit. It's kind of getting hard to hear you.
Okay.
Mr. Murray, back to you again. These are the kinds of challenges that we're facing. And what do you think the president's going to be able to do? Now, the Department of Energy, are we expecting a decision from them on these coal plants and the nuke plants in the next few weeks or how long?
I can't tell you how long it will take, but this week the president told me directly that they were going to get it done. Now, what they tried to do was evoke Section 403 of the Energy Department Organization Act and then Section 206 of the Federal Power Act, but it would have required the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the feckless FERC, to approve it. They didn't. So now he's using Section 202C of the Federal Power Act to declare an emergency, which bypasses FERC and gets this done. This will give us 2 years. All we're asking for is 2 years to study this reliability issue, this resiliency issue in the electric power grid before people die, before more people die. We had 22 die just in 12 days in January. So, directly related to the unreliability of the power grid. So, we want 2 years to study the issue and try to get this in order. But right now, with all these power plants being closed along Lake Erie and along the Ohio River, coal-fired, it's going to be a disaster for Ohio. It's going to affect everyone, the reliability of the grid, and it's all due to the heavy spending and lobbying of the oil and gas companies and the manufacturers of windmills and solar panels and electric utilities themselves, who have been directed by 8 years of Obama and the Democrats to go one direction. And their plans were to close all their coal-fired plants. So they're doing it, and they haven't changed those plans under the Trump administration. That's the problem. What we're having is the carryover from the horrible 8 years of Obama, the greatest destroyer of America we ever had.
Yes.
And is still carrying over into the Trump administration because they haven't got it stopped yet. And we needed just a timeout to get this studied. And the president needs to have our support on it, Secretary Perry. And it has to occur. We have the most reliable power grid in America. Bill Johnson was talking about Germany. They tried to eliminate coal, and their electric rates overnight went up 61%. Now the lights are going out, and they're unreliable in their power supply. Now they're building coal-fired plants again, as he said. Why go through this when people like myself know this, have spent 62 years studying the power grid? But it's all money. It's all money driven by those who promote windmills, solar panels, and natural gas. And it is unfair to the average American who does not understand this complex issue. It is just totally unfair. And I appreciate the fact, Chris, that in your broadcast, you're trying to bring to the attention of these folks on fixed incomes, to these single moms and these manufacturers, what is ahead of us. This is not a promotion of coal. I'm an American. I know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
I haven't been wrong in decades, and it's coming, and people need to listen.
Well, we're talking with Mr. Murray, who is the chairman and CEO of Murray Energy. With us on the phone earlier was Congressman Bill Johnson and Jim Martin, who he had to go. We lost his call. He is up on Capitol Hill as we speak. Jim heads up the largest seniors organization in the country, the 60-plus Association. And, Mr. Murray, this is the kind of thing that we've talked about, the 60-plus Association, the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're about the bottom line for families, because this takes away from those gains that we're getting with the re-energized economy that Mr. Trump is moving forward with. But these are the kinds of things, the bureaucracy, the swamp, that's basically crippling an effective energy policy going forward. And you're fighting, we want to fight alongside you. And that's why we've had these broadcasts over the last several years to draw attention to it. It's the war on coal, but it continues because we really haven't gotten a clear path. The residual of the fallout of the collateral damage of the war on coal, of Obama's war on coal, is now First Energy, one of the largest energy companies in the country, is basically First Energy Solutions, which is their generation side, is basically declared bankruptcy, which has how many coal plants and three nuke plants, and you can't take those off the grid. It's nonsense for this group, PJM, which is one of the grid operator managers, to say, oh, well, we can absorb that and we'll have other things that will come. Please. I mean, we're not that stupid. And you, like you said, they're risking people's lives. I mean, I guess we were wrong. You can't afford that. Congress has to weigh in on this. The president sees the problem. We do have, a good Secretary of Energy. Now, is it something then that the department can cut? Does it still have to meet with the scrutiny of FERC if the Department of Energy, Mr. Perry comes out again. Of course, he came out last year and said we need to have resource, this just-in-time delivery of resources of coal. And, that was ridiculous, by the way. It was mismanagement. But having a 90-day supply at the coal plants, and then FERC turned that back. So, oh, that's not needed. It's so arbitrary and so prejudicial against the coal industry going forward. There's so much political intrigue here. It's so frustrating. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, number one, if he evokes Secretary Perry at Mr. Trump's direction, Section 202C of the Federal Power Act, it bypasses the feckless Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and it will happen and become law for a two-year period. One other group that has not weighed in well on this subject and looked after reliable, low-cost electricity in Ohio is our own Utility Commission of Ohio, as appointed by Governor John Casey.
Right.
Their chairman, Mr. Schnitzler, has not been helpful in these issues. And we're depending on regulators to keep the lights on and to protect people. And keep the electric rates low. It isn't happening anywhere. In states like California, they're just the opposite. They are so outgone in this environmental radicalism that their electric rates are 40% higher than the rest of the average of the country. And they've lost 700,000 jobs a year. Our businesses, 700,000 businesses a year. So California is on this road to destruction. Why? Electricity is a staple of life today.
That's right.
We must have low-cost, reliable electricity. It's a staple of life. But the regulatory folks everywhere are not doing their jobs to protect it. And I see it coming. I have seen it coming for years, and now we're at the crisis where we have all these plants in the Ohio Valley either bankrupt or closed, and I see 100,000 jobs gone. But what do we do for electricity and reliable electricity, low-cost electricity in the meantime? There needs to be a national effort here, and that's why the president is the one that's got to stop this nonsense. Declare a two-year timeout, force these state regulatory commissioners, these like the Utility Commission of Ohio, the PJM Interconnection, all of these independent system operators that the electric utilities supply the power to. And by the way, the utilities themselves. I only know of two electric utilities in this country that are really committed to coal. They bought into the global warming thing, even though it's not happening.
Right.
And they're not supporting coal. But in their defense, they were sent down a path by the Obama administration over 8 years as to what they're going to do to secure their power in the future. And so those plans are still being carried out, have not been stopped under President Trump because they don't want to, frankly.
Well, Mr.
As long as they can pass the cost of that electricity on.
Right.
They're not going to. And that's my point.
Do you think that there will be, if granted this two-year period, and that gives opportunity here, will there be a buyer and investment group that will come in and buy the plants from FirstEnergy? And how will that, how do you envision that happening? Or what are some of the possibilities that could happen with the coal and even the nuke plants as far as buyers?
The future of the FirstEnergy Solutions plants lies in the hands of the major investor, the major creditor in those plants, both the nuclear plants, the three Beaver Valley in Pennsylvania and the two on Lake Erie, Davis, Bessie, and Perry. And it will lie with that debt owner and as to what the distribution of all these plants is. And that is unknown right now. There are many unsecured creditors, including Murray Energy, I had a contract to sell coal through 2028 that is in jeopardy. It'll have to be sorted out, and in the end, after many years of confusion here, the party in control are the equity owners in New York City, which I would prefer not to mention.
Right. Well, you know, Mr. Murray, what we're going to be doing is praying. Obviously, we're going to be advocating. We're going to be calling our congressmen. We're also going to be calling down to the State House as well, because the Ohio entity needs to be involved in this as well. This is about Ohio jobs, Ohio's future, and the future of Ohio as well. And thank you for all that you've been doing and keeping energy affordable for us by providing a valuable resource of coal and keeping coal miners working. And I know that you work tirelessly night and day on these things, and we're going to lend support. And I know Jim Martin and the 60 Plus Association feels the same. And God bless you, sir, for all you're doing.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you, and we'll be watching very closely as what Mr. Perry is going to release, and we'll have you back on the program to discuss that. Thanks, Mr. Murray.
Thank you.
God bless. That was Mr. Murray, who is the chairman and CEO of Murray Energy. And, of course, you can, if you missed any of today's program, you can listen to it in its entirety on our website at ohioca.org. Also, if you need an update on the news items of this week, also available on our website at ohioca.org. This coming Sunday is going to be Citizenship Sunday, voter registration statewide. All the documents are available on our website at ohioca.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.